I'm gonna just go right in, okay? So, like, no warm up. No warm up. Y'all okay with just, we can just go? Okay. I'm gonna just give you the title off rip, okay? The title of today's message is History in the Making. Because the thing that I was challenged with when preparing this message is, how do I stand at 21 years of a ministry going, and we're right in the middle of what seems to be like the beginning of it? Like, it's been going 21 years, but after 21, it feels like the beginning. And how do we bring faith to our present while honoring the past, but believing and building momentum for the future? And this phrase encapsulated all of those things. History in the making. History talks about the past. In is my present, because I'm in it. But then, the making? Like, there's a phrase that can honor the past, be fully committed to the present, and know that it ain't nothing compared to what's about to happen in my future. Now, for some people in this room, I'm gonna have to unpack this whole truth through testimony and the Word of God, but it's not seen more clearer than in Isaiah 43. And I'm gonna read a large chunk of scripture because, number one, we in church. Like, I don't know why people's like, well, that was a long scripture. You don't eat during the week. I told you, no warm up. What would happen if you ate on Sunday and didn't eat till next Sunday physically? No, for real, for real. Like, go after church, get your McDouble, and then you didn't eat till next week, you will be malnourished. The problem that I feel is that we are packed in this building to celebrate, and you're hoping to eat a meal today to last some of you for another month. If you don't start consuming this Bible, everybody say daily. How many times do y'all eat every day? By hands, how many times do y'all eat? Some of y'all don't got enough hands. Look at y'all. He was like, I don't know. But that's why we're going to read the Word of God in this house. Isaiah 43:14, it says, this is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sakes, I will send an army against Babylon, forcing the Babylonians to flee in those ships they're so proud of. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator and King. I am the Lord. He keeps telling us who he is. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator and the King. I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all of its chariots and horses, and I drew them beneath the waves, and they drowned, their lives snuffed out like a smoldering candle wick. Verse 18 is where we're going to focus. I did all of that. I saved you. I redeemed you. I put you in a place you didn't deserve to be in. I healed your marriage, restored you. I brought you back from that addiction. I changed how people viewed you. When you left me, I came running after you. Some of y'all are remembering right now, like, you were able to start the business that you couldn't qualify for any of the loans or any of the things. I helped you do what you were supposed to do. But forget all that. Forget it. Because it's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. This thing will preach its own self. Somebody say, forget all that. For I'm about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? This is 2020. When anybody talks about 2020, what are they usually referring to? Do you not see it? I will make pathways through the wilderness. I'll create rivers in the dry wasteland. The wild animals of the field will thank me. The jackals in the aisles. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Thank you.
Y'all don't read the Bible. It says, yes, I will make rivers in the dry wasteland so my chosen people can be refreshed. The funny thing about this scripture is this is Isaiah talking, but it's God speaking through Isaiah to a group of people who've already seen crazy things. Like most of us that are sitting in this building, it's the grand opening of a building that's already been opened. Like, we've been here since September. But all of you came today because this is a crazy faith miracle. But what do you do when you've seen God do some crazy things? How do you process it and stay on the edge of faith when you've already been a part of a move of God, when you've already seen God answer some prayers? I found this formula is really encapsulated in that phrase, history in the making. Somebody say it with me. History in the making. Just one more time for overflow. History in the making. And the first thing that I realized is that you can't skip history to build momentum for your present. What most people try to do is blaze a new trail without referencing the trail that was already there. I'm trying to help some people in this room. Most of us want to be like, oh, they never did what we did, and we about to do something that's never been done. And what that is arrogance. I got to talk to all generations in the room today, because what's happening is because some of our forefathers never reached the likes and the status and the acclaim that somebody for doing dumb stuff can get. Like, you can do a TikTok and be popular or famous, but you have nothing on the inside of you that's worth. Okay, how do I say it? I wanna be sensitive to the moment. And I think that in our society right now, we're very conscious of what is popping or popular now, but we don't consider what had to happen before that, the history of it. And today, if we're going to be able to go to the thing that God wants for us to do, I need us to stop and I need us to look at history. Write this point down for me. The arrogance of an amateur values the experience over the remembrance. I'm going to explain it to you. The arrogance of an amateur values the experience that we did, the experience that we had, the experience that we made over the remembrance of what God has already done. And this is the place where many of us are at right now, because we have stopped remembering where God brought us from and we're looking for the high in our next experience. That's why some of y'all are actually here right now, because you had FOMO. You were chasing the high of being where everybody else was going to be at, and you're looking for this thing that'll never fulfill you, and you could get the same level of energy if you would just stop for a second, sit in your room that ain't got no furniture in it, and think about how broken you were 5 years ago. And if you really started to remember the goodness of God, you would be more thankful for the remembrance of what happened for you than the next experience that you're about to go to. And what I've said at this moment in our church history, I can just get up here and be like, we about to take over everything. Nobody can stop us. We are in overflow in the parking lot. Like, I could just... But the Holy Spirit would be like, that's an amateur move. You ever been somewhere and you could tell the person ain't never been there before? It may be true that that is their first time there, but there's some things people can do to tell you and guarantee you ain't never been here before. I think about some of the rooms that God has afforded me to go into in this past year and a half. And you know, when people get bougie and they got money, they start eating complicated. I don't know why eating gets so complicated the more money you have. It should be more convenient. But they bring out 5-course meals, and they're all little portions split up over an hour and a half. Bring me all my food, please. I don't want this liver rip and then a twink of potatoes. You mean mashed potatoes? It just gets more complicated. But one thing that I've learned to do is follow the person that I'm eating with. Because what they do is they give you a lot of cutlery. 4 forks, 7 knives, 13 spoons. And then they put soup in front of you, and I'm like, Like me, I just want to take the bowl and like, y'all know, y'all stop acting fake in here. So what I do is I sit back, twirl. The thing that's funny is this has really happened to me several times, and so I'm replaying it in my head. I sit back, mess with my napkin. Oh, that's funny, Bill. Oh.
When we gonna eat? Like.
And then I watch him pick up or her pick up something, and then I watch where it was compared to where I am, and I watch how slow they're eating, and I don't do it at the moment that I think I know. I wait. I usually wait until they stop eating for a second and start talking, and then I remember what they did. And because I remembered what they did, I'm able to now execute at a level of proficiency that would have been taken away from me if I arrogantly would have walked in there and be like, what is all these spoons for? Oh, geez, I'm only using this one. And like, if I started doing that, and what I'm afraid of is that many of us are walking into situations where we're so arrogant about what God's called us to do that we don't take a moment to pause and observe and remember the sacrifice of other people to get us to this place. And I can't help but think of why God, through Isaiah, takes 2 verses to remind the children of Israel of what happened. They were ready for their next experience, and God, through Isaiah, takes them back to remembrance. Look what he says. I am the Lord. Oh, I do remember that. Who opened up the way. Dang, you did do that. Through the waters. Snap. That is when we saw Willie and Nemo and all of them. And I'm making a dry path. He did do that. Through the sea, I called forth the mighty armies of Egypt with all of its chariots and horses, and I drew them beneath the waves, and they drowned. Your enemies weren't able to touch you because I snuffed them out like a candle wick. God took a moment to, everybody say, remember. And today, as we stand at this amazing moment, I don't want to rush it. Because I want to remember what it was like when I stood on a platform and 200 people showed up because it was a snow day. I want to take all of this in during worship. I barely could do anything but look around because I want to remember. The last time we did an anniversary like this was the day that I became the pastor of the church. And I didn't sleep the night before because I was painting the walls to make sure that it was proper for God's people to come in. And I would stay up all night to paint a black wall. And at 6:45 in the morning, the ushers started coming in. And my friend Aaron, who was on the worship team today, he said, Mike, you gotta go get dressed. You're about to be installed as the pastor. I need to remember. I'm not just trying to have an emotional moment right now. I'm just trying to remember that this is not the pinnacle of satisfaction. Hear what I'm saying. When you get the house, you need to remember the dorm room. When you're complaining about the family you prayed for, you need to remember being lonely and single and frustrated. See, some of y'all have lost the art of remembering, but I dare you to take 5 seconds right now and think about what God has brought you from and remember. And when you remember the history, it changes the way you approach your present. See, I approach this moment with faith because I have more than I've ever had. And many times it happens in reverse for people. When they have more than they've ever had, they start protecting what they have. And God told me, he said, Michael, this is the year that you're not going to play it safe. You ready to step out in faith? I said, I thought I was already out here. this feels pretty okay. But then I learned something. Watch this. You can't appreciate the value of a victory without remembering the magnitude of the moment. See, a lot of people get a victory and they lose the value in it because they forgot the moment they were in when God gave them that victory. Nope, you missed it. Look what happened. Isaiah 43:16. It's right here in the Bible. It says, I am the Lord who opened a way. Oh, great. That's a victory. God opened a way. But you only see the value when you realize the magnitude of the moment. He opened up the way through some water. Y'all missed it. My enemy's back here. We scared the ocean. They trying to kill me. I'm running the ocean. I'm black, can't swim. We're gonna rebuke that demon in 2020. We're having transformation swimming classes for y'all. Because this is foolish. Slavery is over. See, you don't value what God did if you don't remember the magnitude of the moment. My enemy's behind me. I come up to opposition, and God says, see, move. And some of you, that's what he's done in your life. You've come up against, I feel this, opposition, and y'all have forgot the value of the victory because there was no way you should be here. There was no way you should have got into that school. There was no way you should have your right mind, but God made a way through the sea. If he made a way through a sea for you, why don't you give him some praise in the building? Woo! See, y'all forgetting. You've stopped remembering what God did. See, you can't understand the value of the victory if you don't understand the magnitude of the moment. See, it's like Bishop and Pastor Debbie. They started a church in 1999. Great. Another person in Tulsa started a church. They're everywhere. But you missed the magnitude of the moment. You don't understand the value of that victory. They're leaving something that's familiar, and they're walking up to planting a church in the hood. And if you've never seen Bishop and Pastor Debbie, they white. Excuse me. They white. Like, not the rhythm, like, not the Justin Timberlake white, okay? I'm just trying to make sure y'all understand, I love this church. But watch, the only reason you can understand the value of the victory is because you take time to remember the magnitude of the moment. They stepped out, and Bishop took his shoes off on Greenwood and Archer, and he looked around in North Tulsa. And God said, reverse the curse. See, y'all don't know that in 1921, one of the worst race massacres happened right here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. They don't teach this in Oklahoma history. They don't teach this, but they wiped out and depressed a side of our city. And God called a man and a woman to look at a sea. And he said, I'm about to make a way through the waters. Y'all don't hear me in this place. Yeah. There would be no transformation, church. There would be none of this if they did not step and see God give them victory when the moment was speaking everything against them. And why am I telling you this? I am. I'm telling all of you this because I don't think your next victory is in thinking about what's to come yet. I think your next victory, and guess what? You don't need no money to remember. You don't need nobody to co-sign you to remember. You don't need a cheering committee. You don't need a leader to approve you. If you just sit in a quiet space and remember where God has brought you from, it will begin to give you faith and fuel for what God has called you to do. And I just need somebody before I move on to remember that the same God that told Bishop and Pastor Debbie to reverse the curse is the same God that's in the building right now. He's the same God that stands outside of eternity. And he's the same God. He's the same God. Somebody shout at me. He's the same God. Say it again. He's the same God. In the overflow, he's the same God. That's why we have to look at the past. See, y'all don't want to go down memory lane with me, do you? Okay. See, the same God that told Bishop to reverse the curse was the same God that after I wrote down on a piece of paper that Transformation Church would be meeting in the Spirit Bank Event Center, it's the same God that my third call was to Bishop. And we came over here. We broke in. I admit. We broke in. And Bishop, before we left out, he said, Mike, this is your building. Now you, okay, yeah, we're in here now. You don't understand the value of the victory because you weren't in the magnitude of the moment. At that time in the church, we had less than 350 people coming consistently. We had a very low budget. We were believing God to meet our needs so we didn't have to fire people who had been with the church for 10 plus years. We were in a moment where it looked like the sea was closed in front of us. And guess what we did in that moment? Bishop said, stand there, Pastor Mike. I want to take a picture of you in the building that you will one day own. If you got that picture, put it on the screen real quick. Because I need people to see. Oh, y'all don't hear me. See, you don't understand the value of the victory of us being here unless you understand the magnitude of this moment. Somebody else owned the building at this time. Somebody else was trying to get it. But the value of the victory we stand in now is because in that moment I had faith. What are you trying to say, Pastor Mike? I'm just trying to fuel your faith so that you remember that whatever you're facing right now, God's already brought you through. He's already brought you through so much. Why are you tripping now? It's like this is where you think I'm gonna leave you? Like this is where you think I'm gonna play you right now? I'm the same God that brought you out of that crazy family, that saved you from all of that crap. And this is where you're going to play me like I'm Jehovah Jireh, the God who will provide. I am the healer. I am somebody better give God praise, because the same God who did it back then is the same God that's going to do it now. Somebody shout at me, remember. The old folks would say, when I think of the goodness of Jesus. Some of y'all too young for this. And all he's done for me. My soul cries hallelujah. See, what I'm trying to do today is I'm trying to make a commitment to everybody that no matter what God does in this ministry, no matter how big it gets, we won't be arrogant and we will remember our history. I remember when tons of people left the church. And as a 26-year-old pastor, I took everyone personal. We're leaving. God's doing great things, but we out. You're called for this, but we not gonna be here. You have such a bright future. We're gonna throw shade. Like, what? And I took everyone personal. But there were people in this room that I remember who stayed with me, people like Miss Tammy McCorders and Scott McCorders, people that y'all, see, you don't know them because you weren't there in that moment, but I remember. See, it doesn't take everybody to clap for it to be significant. See, everybody can clap, but the question is, are the right ones clapping? Are the people who saw your sacrifice? That's why I can't stand you getting your validation from Instagram and Facebook. They weren't there when you began. They weren't there when you began the work. And God says, I rejoice to see the work begin. It doesn't even matter if there was only 50 views. God said, I see you. I see what you're doing. I see you being faithful. And that's why I remember people like Eddie Evans and Calvin Webb. Eddie, you in the building? Calvin Webb, you in the building? Y'all come up here real quick. I remember these men of God, and I'm just trying to give y'all, I need y'all to come quick, come on. I need you to remember, I've been remembering what God did. I remember coming in and preaching my first message, not in a suit. And at our church at that time, the culture, you wore a suit. And if you didn't wear a suit, you didn't hear from God. You weren't anointed. And matter of fact, you was backsliding. Lift your hands. And they were, you mean over the suit? And I remember being called into a meeting because the ushers was pissed off. I remember. Because I asked everybody to wear an orange shirt that said Transformation Church on it so that our visitors would know who they could ask for help. And these men said, I done spent $400. They see me. They know that I'm in charge. I said, brother, Hey, Transformation Church, this is Brother Calvin Webb. How old are you, Papa?
71.
Now, I remember, do you remember y'all throwing a fit over not wearing suits?
Yes.
I mean, they was mad. But it doesn't, it's funny that in this moment where we could be talking about all the great things that we've done as a church, this week when I was remembering, I remembered you. Because out of all the people who got mad and left, who got mad and talked about us, you and your wife kept tithing, kept serving. The reason why it took him so long, because he was ushering in that section over there today. Oh, come, y'all, can we give God praise? I remember. And because I remember, you know I'm a sneakerhead. So I had this guy make some custom represent Nike Blazers that said Transformation Church, year 5, Tulsa, Oklahoma, established 1999. And I got them made in your size. And you may never wear them.
Oh, I'm aware.
He said, oh, I'm aware of. But I want you to know that I remember what you did by staying and being faithful to this vision when everybody didn't know if it was gonna work. And God saw it. Can we give God?
I love you, sir.
Let me teach you something. Next generation, that's the way that we're going to get an inheritance. We're so used to being abandoned without anything, but the way we get an inheritance is through this little cuss word that starts with an H, honor. So everybody needs to remember. See, the great thing about remembering is, write this point down. Remembering produces rejoicing. See, when you really start remembering what God has done, then you start rejoicing for all that he's about to do. And again, you can rejoice in the middle of it. Everybody say, in the middle of it. In the middle of pain, in the middle of frustration, you can still rejoice. In the middle of everything not working out, in the middle of loss, you can still rejoice. Do you know how many times I had to praise God when everything looked contrary to what was happening? But that is the weapon God gives you, is he gives you joy in the midst of sorrow. And I need somebody to understand what Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 says. It says, always be joyful in the Lord. And again I say, rejoice. And this is the thing that I need everybody to understand, is when you remember, you should begin to feel joy on the inside. My situation didn't change, but my joy is coming back. This is the word some of y'all came for this week. My situation is no different. They still mean, they're still ugly, and they still, let me stop. But my joy, because the world didn't give it. See, you don't believe that. You think your joy can be stolen by your coworker. And your joy, no, your happiness can be stolen. But my joy, that's a fruit of the Spirit. The only one that can give me joy is the Holy Spirit. And when God gives me joy, you can't touch it. And some of y'all been making the weakest excuse that, they just stole my, this situation just, no, you gave it away. Let me help you. Anytime your joy gets robbed from you, it didn't really get robbed from you. You abdicated it. You gave it away. You let somebody's attitude take away what God placed on the inside of you. But I'm making a decision in 2020. Nobody gets the joy that they didn't give me. And when I start to remember all that God's done, how he saved me and Natalie's marriage, how my son is alive. He's not talking, but he's alive. When I begin to think of the goodness of Jesus, I get, somebody shout at me, joy. I'm trying to give you a playbook. Don't be arrogant and don't remember what God's brought you from. And when you start remembering, you need to get joy on the inside of you. Okay, some of y'all need help. You need a joy booster. How many people have had a hard week this week? Hands raised. Come on. Oh, dang. All right. Well, I've needed a lot of joy boosters over this past 5 years. And they came in different ways, and so today I felt like God wanted to give everybody a joy booster. I became the pastor February 1st, 2015. March 9th, God gave me a word that this would be our building. And about 9 weeks ago, I stood right there, and I said, I'm believing in crazy faith. That by church anniversary, we're gonna pay the building off. Transformation Church. I want to let you know, because of your crazy faith, we no longer owe any money on the building. It's paid in full. Somebody better give God. Don't tell me what God won't do. And the same God that did that, you missed it. And the same God that did that, he don't do nothing for this house that he don't want to do for your house. Do you believe it? What happened to the mortgage? It's gone. Don't tell me what God won't do. If I remember how he kept me when I lost all the staff on the second year, then when I stand in this building and we needed to pay $10.5 million for it, when they told us that we couldn't even have it, God said, I'm the same God that brought you from that place. Don't matter about the zeros, I own the galaxy. Y'all worried about the wrong thing. God's looking for faith. Is there anybody in this place with crazy faith today? In the overflow, watching online, in the lobby, give God a shout of praise. Our bank president is videoing me right now. What's up, D? First Bank of Owosso. He texted me 3 days ago because I went to his office. And I told him, I said, D, we're going to sign for this loan in August, and it will be paid off by our church anniversary. And he chuckled. And white man chuckled. I don't think D knew who he was messing with. There was a bunch of people who had crazy faith. And y'all sent in gifts from all over the world. And he texted me 3 days ago. And he said, we've been in business for 57 years, making loans to over 200 churches. Congratulations. Transformation Church is now the fastest paid off loan in First Bank of Owosso history. It's history in... Some of y'all are getting it. God's saying, look at the past. Be faithful in the present, because I'm taking you to the future. Some of y'all are getting it. Hey, hey, there's a praise that just come. Hey, hey, come on, hey. Woo, hey. History in the making. We in history in the making. Help me, everybody. Oh, whoa. You standing in. Hey, history is, you say, now give God praise for it right now. I'm in history in the making. It's history in the making. History in the making. History. The building paid in full. They said I was a fool, but God did what he do. Hey, and it was for me and you. So we're standing in.
Say history. In.
Oh! Oh! Let go! Papa Bouncy! This is that moment! Let's go! I know you feel that in overflow. Huh. Oh, yeah.
Cause he did it before. He can do it again. Same God right now. Same God.
Say.
If he did it before, he can do it again. Same God right now.
Do you believe it?
Same God right now.
Say it again. If he did it. Because we remembered and our memory produced rejoicing. That's what just happened. But then look what God says. Go to verse 18, please. See, we could stay there all day and just be yelling. Okay? But he said, everything I've done up until this point, oh, you thought that was it? Is that what you thought? You thought I was a God that was limited to what's happened to now? I need you to do something for me. Forget all of it. Hold on. We just burned the mortgage. But at the moment it happens, it becomes... So at the moment we burn the mortgage, God says, I can top that. Some of y'all are getting faith right now. At the moment he heals your marriage, he says, I can top that. At the moment he saves your kids, he says, I can top that. At the moment you get the promotion, he says, I can top that. That's why we have to always honor history. But we gotta have crazy faith in the present. Because it's not worth being compared to the in the making. And I just came to encourage somebody who's been doubting. Has God done his greatest miracle in your life? Were my glory days behind me? Am I too old to be used by God? Am I too young to be used by God? Am I too damaged to actually do what I see in my heart? And I came to tell you that, baby, you're still in the making. Somebody needs to receive that now. Hands lifted. I speak over you that you're in the making. That your business, your family, in overflow. Lift your hands in the lobby. Lift your hands. Watching on rebroadcast. Lift your hands and receive them. I'm telling you that whatever happened to you, how damaged you've been, how broken the enemy has tried to make you feel, God sent me here to tell you that you are in the making. I see by the Spirit, I just feel the urge to prophesy to somebody, that I see by the Spirit that God has wrapped you in a cocoon in this last season. And you've been a caterpillar crawling everywhere, using a lot of effort and energy to make that thing happen. But God is saying in this moment, the cocoon season is coming to an end. Listen, listen. And when you see things breaking, it's what's necessary for the wings to spread. I feel this by the power of God. Don't try to hold on to those relationships. God's breaking. Don't try to hold on to that business idea that God's breaking. Because he's breaking it so you can fly, baby. And the only time that you would ever need to go to a low place again is when you decide to go help somebody else. Is anybody receiving that right now? I just feel that God says you're in the making. You've not dreamed your greatest dream. You've not wrote your best song. You've not taken the picture that the world's gonna see yet. I hear the Holy Spirit saying some of you have been holding back. You've been holding back in fear that if you let it go too soon, you won't have another good one. I don't know who this is for, but the Holy Spirit says you've been holding things back that I've already given you, waiting for the right moment. And he's saying, if you don't release what's in your hand, I can't release the next idea that's in my hand. No, y'all don't hear me. If you don't release, Lee, jump up here real fast. Scott, give me that bag real quick. Whoever got my bag, hurry. Okay, I need to everybody. Has everybody seen this picture of like a teddy bear and Jesus, and like Jesus having a big teddy bear behind his back, and then they're trying to hold on to something? It's like this. So it's like this. Let me see what's happening. I feel like drug money. Yeah, I needed to break that. That's how gangsters break the rap. Hey, Lee. God told me yesterday when I saw you to give you this. Okay? Now, I don't know why you're crying. I don't know what's happening. But what I do know is I actually have something else for you. But the only way that I can get and give you what's in this hand is that you have to trust that I know what's best for you. See, that looks bigger, but it's $200 in ones. And this is what many of your lives look like. You're holding on to a bunch of singles. And because it looks like more and you can stunt with it, God's saying, write this point down. When you're ready to release, it tells God you're ready for release. So Lee, can I have back what I already gave you? See, the problem is many of you think what you hold in your hands, your gifts, your talents, your job, your house, you think it's yours. But can I have, look at him, with tears in his eyes, knowing that I may give him something that is not as valuable. But because he trusts the character of the one who gave it to him, at the moment he releases, this is $500. Now watch. Remember what I just said. When you're ready to release the relationship, the business idea, when you're ready to release, that tells God you're ready for release. Now, can I just hold this for 1 second? One looks a lot more attractive than the other. And many times God will ask you to release something that looks like more to actually put your hands on something that actually is valued at more. No, you missed it. So to release celebrity to be a husband. You missed it. release everybody liking you to obey the will of God. Lee, that's yours. I love you, man. Thank you for being used as an example. Hey, hold on, Lee. Because you were faithful. I'm trying to show you the kingdom right now. Because you were faithful to trust me in what I gave you, you can take all of it. Hey, and the bag too. You're gonna take the bag too. Will you give God praise right now? This word is telling us to do. Remember the past. Rejoice in our present. And release. Everybody say release. Our future into God's hands. That's what we're doing as a church. As I stand here at this 5-year anniversary, I don't know what's next. But every vision requires revision. When this church started in 1999, the vision statement was touching a city by raising up a people. I want you to get it. Every vision has to have a revision. And what God saw outside of eternity is, I want this thing to last beyond the original visionary. So he gave him touching a city by raising a people. And then he said, yeah, Mike, go serve in the sound booth. And I'm going to start you in an obscure place. And I want to make sure you have my heart. And when the church goes through a financial issue and they have to lay everybody off, I want you to stay and keep serving. And it was in the season that I kept from the back, turning up microphones, getting yelled at by Tony Mason. Where you at? He was right in here. I saw him. More in the monitors, more in the monitors. You loud, you can't hear yourself? He made half our church deaf for real. But it was in that place that Bishop saw me. And he said, there's something happening right there. Now listen. When he handed me the baton, he said, now Michael, you have the opportunity not to give the original vision, but to go back for revisions. And the only time you can go back for a revision, and I'm saying this because some of y'all are in a place and you're trying to work a vision that has expired. I know this is tough to hear, but we don't release to dishonor the past. We release to honor the future. See, y'all got, no, we ain't doing it like them. No, I've spent most of my message today honoring what has happened. So we don't release it because they ain't do nothing. Yeah, they did. But we have to release it because what God has behind his back for Transformation Church is not worth being compared. What he has for your house, what he has for your life and your family is not being worth. Stop living in your high school trophy days. When you say the good old days, that means your days today are bad. And so many people are living in a period of their life when God said, the whole reason I sent Jesus is that you might have life and have life to the full. What are you saying to us, Pastor Mike? Everybody who's a part of Transformation Church and Transformation Nation, I'm so excited that you came and you're watching this because I feel like this is a homecoming and I can tell everybody all at the same time. We are releasing everything God's done up until this point. Great for Transformation Church building. Great for the thousands of people who've come and been changed. But my Bible says it's not worth being compared to what he has planned for us. What does the next 5 years hold, Pastor Mike? I don't know. But it's better than this. Did you see the faith in the statement? Somebody's gonna get that. I don't know, but it's better than this. Where you gonna be working 5 years from now? I don't know, but it's better than my family. How your family gonna be doing next year? I don't know, but it's better than this. How's your health gonna be next week? I don't know what's gonna happen, but it's gonna be better than this. Hands lifted all over this place in the overflow. I speak the same anointing that is on Transformation Church and on my life. I speak it over every person with the faith to receive it. I declare that this is not just an act of faith, it's an impartation of faith. I need y'all to receive right now. This is not scary and spooky. This is spiritual all the way up in the balcony. I believe that an army is arising of people that will believe God beyond what they have seen. Our best days are not behind us, but our best days are in front of us. I declare that we are moving forward. We are saying we're not going back, because God, you've done some amazing things in our history. But right now we have faith in the present, because it's not worth being compared to what you're gonna do and what you have in the making. Today, God, I command dreams to come alive. Receive this, receive this. I feel the presence. I literally feel virtue coming from me right now. I declare people will write things down and live to see them. I thank you, Father, that bank accounts that have been barren and dry will find themselves in overflow. I declare and I believe that creativity is being unlocked over every business, every artist. I declare that the word of the Lord will come to every author, and that books, volumes of books, would begin to flow. I declare for everybody who is called to be able to speak the word of God, that there would be a revelation that will drop in them, that will be found every time they think about Jesus and what he's done. I declare that every sick bone in every person's body comes into alignment with the 39 lashes that Jesus took on the cross. I declare divine healing, and we speak in this moment that history is still in the making. And Father God, because we know your character and we know you're a good, good father who does not give his kids bad gifts, today we don't praise you for what you've already done. That's in our history. Today we're gonna give you an advanced praise. In this moment, we're about to clap our hands and lift our voice, because our history is still in the making. Give God shout a praise in this place. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Oh, we're gonna sing this now. Say, you make all things new. Say,
you make all things new.
Do you not see it? Children of Israel out of slavery. Verse 14 says that this is the Lord, your Redeemer. Today, if you're in this building and you want to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I want you to accept what Christ has done for you as a, everybody say, Redeemer. If I was to put it in a point, I'd say it like this. Don't settle for being refreshed when you can be redeemed. That's why so many of us come to church and we just, oh, let me get enough water to go back out here and get beat up, and let me get enough hope to go out there. And God said, why would you just come getting a sip when I can give you the distillery? Like, why? And some of you have been searching for a feeling to just feel good, get refreshed. I got more money, I'm refreshed for a second. And you're thirsty again. And today I want to offer you the only water that will make you never thirst again. It's the living water. If you're in this room and you've never accepted Jesus Christ, if you're in overflow, if you're watching on broadcast, if you're in the lobby, don't be distracted because people are leaving. Tune in to me. This is the moment that God has set up your whole life for. All your history doesn't matter. If you make the decision for Jesus and be in this moment, I promise you, I'm a living witness. That's the thing that made me and is still making me. I went from being a liar, a manipulator, addicted to pornography, somebody who had a horrible character and didn't see the value in other people. Not to a perfect man, but to a progressing man. And that only happened because I submitted my history in a moment. God has been making me. If you're in this room and somebody drug you here, and you got plans to do something completely opposite of what you know is right today, or you've been living the goody two-shoe life, but you haven't surrendered your life to Christ. All of that's the same thing. Because somebody wants to put it on a pedestal. Well, homosexuality is a real sin, and your lies aren't. Some of y'all gonna leave and not come back. But the foot of the cross is even. There's no little white lie at the foot of the cross. And all of us need the grace of God. So today, if you need the grace of God, in just a moment, we're going to pray a prayer. And when we pray this prayer, the Bible tells us, according to Romans 10:9, all we have to do is believe and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and he died and rose for us. And it says it literally takes all of your history sins. Hold on, some of y'all. And it says he throws them as far as the east is from the west. And he remembers them. God's already made a decision about you once you make a decision for him. So if that's you and you want to make Jesus Christ your personal Lord and Savior, in the lobby, in the overflow, all over this auditorium, on the count of three, I want you to raise your hand and be included in that prayer. One, you're making the greatest decision of your life. Two, this is why the church exists and God is proud of you, and so are we. Three, there's hands already going up right now. I see you. I see you. I see you. Oh, come on. I see you. I see you. I see you. I see you, sis. Oh, this is a big day. In the overflow, we see you. In the lobby, we see you. Now listen. This means you're moving forward. So let's pray this prayer together. And at Transformation Church, we're family. Nobody prays alone. Everybody pray this prayer bold and strong. Everybody say, God, thank you for seeing my history and putting me in this moment and seeing my future and still choosing me. I believe you lived, you died, and you rose again just for me. Today, I give you my life. Take over, change me, renew me, transform me. I'm yours in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we celebrate with the hundreds of people? Can we celebrate with the hundreds of people? somebody say, I'm not going back.
I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead. I'm here to declare.
What's happening?
My past is over in you. All things are made new. Surrender my life to Christ.
What are you doing?
I'm moving
to you. Make
all things new.
Lift it up.
Yes, you
believe it.
Make all things new.
And say, I will. Off this place one time. Come on, somebody say. Follow him.
It's who you are.
We know his character.
It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am.
Know who you are.
It's who I am. It's who I am.
Just one more time.
You're a good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are.
They've sown now. They're not done. They've just stepped back to allow what God's doing now and support it. So it's history in, and everything God does through us is for what he's making you into. That's why you come here. That's why you streamed. That's why you flew. Y'all don't hear me. That's why you drove overnight. That's why you've been waiting outside since 5:30 a.m. Because God's saying, I'm not done yet. It's history. And thank you for letting us lead you. Thank you for going with us in this crazy faith. We said we would remember. We'd rejoice. What else would we do? We'd release. And what would God do? Redeem. I could sum it up in one word. Represent. I stand here on our fifth anniversary with history behind me and in this moment, not knowing what's going to be made. And I promise, I vow, I declare that for the rest of the time that I'm breathing, that's for me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord by representing God to the lost and found for transformation in Christ. All I would ask is you'd make that same commitment. Not to us, but to God. Father, I bless these people. I bless these people, Father God, and I ask you that your grace would go before them, keep them, transform them, and bring them into the promised land. The whole thing you were trying to encourage the children of Israel in Isaiah 43 was that you had something better for you, but they didn't take your route. And they turned an 11-day journey into a 40-year death. I declare that we will reach the promised land. And we will die empty and do everything that God's called us to do. In Jesus' name. Can somebody give God one more shout of praise? Come on, that's good if it was for me. But can we give the King of Kings, our Redeemer, a shout of praise? Thank you so much for watching Transformation Church's YouTube. And I just want you to take another step. If this is feeding you, join Transformation Nation. That's everybody that doesn't live here in Tulsa watching live with us on Sunday mornings. Gather your family. Let's make this thing an every week situation. And please share. Share if it has impacted your life. There is somebody that is waiting for you to share this with them. And transformation is only a click away. And there's one more thing I would ask you to do. Pray about giving. If you want to help us take this message all around the world and represent God to lost and found people for one reason, transformation in Christ, you can do that right now by clicking the give button. I cannot wait to see you the next time we're here. Live a transformed life.